Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, host of the Football History Dude podcast, right here on the Sports History Network. Now, before we jump into another sports history adventure, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor. We partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor in the United States, where you can get deals on over 30,000 autographed sports collectibles. They even have film, music, and other entertainment autographs on the site, so there's something for everyone. Perhaps you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, or maybe Father's Day. Heck, who needs a holiday as an excuse to give a piece of sports history to your loved ones? Or how about yourself? Today seems like a great day to add to your sports cave, right? But how is RSA able to offer such great deals on JSA authentication, you ask? Well, they do this by making deals directly with athletes, so there are no extra markups, and they choose to pass these savings on to the customer. All orders from Rochester Sports Autographs are top quality and shipped to your door with top authentication and money-back guarantee. And to make sure RSA knows that the Sports History Network sent you, we created a special link for you. All you have to do is head to shoprsa.com/SHN. Again, that's shoprsa.com/SHN. Head over there to get your piece of sports history today.
We've got all the football history headlines right here for October 10th. We're going to talk about the Chicago Cardinals' very first game in the NFL, the Decatur Stalers' first game, a CFL rushing record, and the Giants get a new stadium in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and you have come to the Football History Headlines sponsored by PigskinDispatch.com, and today we are going to cover the date of October 10th in football history. So let's get right at it. We'll go to October 10th, 1920. The Chicago Cardinals played their very first game in the AFPA, which became the NFL a couple years later, in a game that was against their crosstown rivals at the time, the Chicago Tigers, and it ended in a 0-0 draw. Patty Driscoll was the head coach of this version of the Cardinals, who ended the season at 6 wins, 2 losses, and 1 tie, and ended up 4th in the AFPA that year. We next go to October 10th, 1921, a year later. The former Decatur Stalers played their first game as the Chicago Stalers and won a game 14-10 over the visiting Rock Island Independents. The Stalers ended the season where they played every game in Chicago, sporting a 10-1-2 record. The following season, owner-coach George Halas would rename the team the Chicago Bears. And then October 10th, 1960, a CFL rushing record for a single game is reached when Rod Stewart of the Ottawa Rough Riders runs for 287 yards in a game against the Montreal Alouettes. According to the American Football Database.com, Ron Stewart capped off his 1960 season by winning the CFL's Most Outstanding Canadian Award. In his 13-year career, he ran for 5,690 yards on 983 attempts and scored 42 touchdowns. 16 years later, October 10, 1976, the Giants Stadium in New Rutherford, New Jersey opens up its gates for the very first time, but the Dallas Cowboys darkened the festivities a bit when they handed the New York Giants a 24-14 loss in the stadium's debut. Then we go to October 10, 1994. Those same New York football Giants retire the jersey of number 56 in honor of their great former linebacker, Lawrence Taylor. We hope right now, while you're taking this little break from our football history, that you'll hit the subscribe button on this podcast player, and also that you'll email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And now a couple words from one of my buddies at the sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, this is John Gidley. Join me each Friday for a trip into the football attic, where I'll delve into forgotten but noteworthy stories of the National Football League. You're bound to learn something new or have your memory jogged each week. That's every Friday, only on the Sports History Network and wherever podcasts are available.
It's time to talk about those birthdays of legends and Hall of Famers for the October 10th day. And we'll start off October 10th, 1894. That's when the birth of Walter Gordon happened. And Walter Gordon was a guard and tackle from the University of California from 1916 through the 1918 season. Walter grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, and was a grandson of a slave. Mr. Gordon became one of the first black football players on the West Coast. The National Football Foundation's bio on him tells us that Gordon was a great lead blocker on offense and a hard-hitting tackler on defense. The National Football Foundation selected him to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1975. After graduation, Walter joined the Berkeley Police Force and went to law school and became a lawyer in 1922. He coached football and did some scouting for California University, and eventually President Dwight D. Eisenhower appointed him the governor of the U.S. Virgin Islands. October 10th, 1920. Frank Sinkwich was a halfback from the University of Georgia. It's reported by the National Football Foundation that Frank did not desire to play halfback due to the fact that in that era of play, halfbacks were the ones who threw the passes. His head coach thought otherwise, though, and Coach Wally Butts was right. The awkward, flat-footed Sinkwich worked hard at halfback position, and after many hours of practice, he became a great passer. In 1942, he set the national record for total offense with 2,187 yards, and over 1,300 of those were through the air. The big stage is where the player really shined, though, like in the 1942 Orange Bowl, where Sinkwich put up a remarkable 382 all-purpose yards in the game. The National Football Foundation selected him to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1954. Then we go to October 10th, 1922, and that's when Merv Pregelman was a center and tackle for the University of Michigan. According to mgoblue.com, Merv was an All-American at the defensive tackle, but also played center and guard on offense as well. The Green Bay Packers drafted Pregelman in the first round of the 1946 NFL Draft, and he played there one season before going to Detroit to play with the Lions for two more years before playing his last season with the New York Bulldogs in 1948. The National Football Foundation selected him to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1982. Then we go to October 10th, 1946. Dwayne Nix, a former Texas A&I tight end. Dwayne was a Texas football star right from the beginning, per footballfoundation.org's bio on him. In three consecutive years, the youngster made the Associated Press Little All-America team. His college team, the Texas A&I Javelinas, went undefeated in the NAIA when he was a junior, and the next season they won a national championship in NAIA football. The National Football Foundation selected him to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2003. Next, we go to October 10th, 1969, and that's the birth of Brett Favre. Brett played in the National Football League for nearly 20 highly productive seasons, where he played as a three-time NFL Player of the Year and made it to 11 Pro Bowls. Do I need to say anything more? Of course we do. Favre attended Southern Mississippi University, where he was a four-year starter at quarterback. Brett was later picked by the Atlanta Falcons in the second round and 33rd overall in a 1991 NFL draft, according to his bio on ProFootballHOF.com. Favre saw very limited action as a Falcon, and so the next season he was traded to the Green Bay Packers for a first-round draft pick. When starter Don Majkowski was injured in Week 3, Brett Favre became the starting quarterback of the Pack and never looked back. He started that season on a torrid pace that saw him go over 3,000-plus yards of passing in 18 straight seasons in the NFL. In 1995, with the two following seasons, he took the Packers to the NFC Championship game and won Super Bowl 31. Brett played with the Packers through the 2007 season and then a season with the New York Jets before playing out his final 2 years with the Minnesota Vikings. Like fine wine, Favre seemed to get better with age, as in 2009 may have been his best season ever as he finished the year with a 107.2 QB rating and tossed for 4,202 yards, second best ever in his career. Brett Favre was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 2016. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com. is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, the host of When Football Was Football, here on the Sports History Network. I'm very pleased to announce that I will be partnering with the Sports History Network to give away two copies of my latest book called Bears vs. Cardinals, the NFL's Oldest Rivalry. To enter, just head over to the following link, sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. We hope you'll enjoy the numerous stories in the book, which is largely based on the newly released Dutch Sturman collection at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dutch was the co-owner of the early Chicago Bears with George Halas and kept correspondence, financial records, and scouting reports, which now allow us to peek into the management of an NFL club during the first few years of the league's existence. Along the way, we'll meet unusual gridiron characters from years gone by, including a quarterback who could throw the ball farther behind his back than he could throwing it forward, a Bears lineman who was such a good tavern fighter that he decided to enter the boxing universe, and a Cardinals halfback who gave up the NFL rushing title by deciding to not show up for his team's final game of the season. And can we forget the time the Al Capone mob interrupted a Bears-Cardinals game? The new book was fun to research, and I hope you will enter our free contest today. Once the winners are selected, we'll be in touch regarding shipping as well as to inscribe the book personally for you. This might make a perfect gift for Mother's or Father's Day, or simply add it to your own personal collection. Once again, enter by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you, and good luck!